Our gospel reading comes from Matthew chapter 9, found on page 1509 in the Pew Bibles. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." We give thanks to God for his word. I invite you to be seated. As we transition to the message, I invite you to open up your programs, pull out the yellow sheet that says sermon notes and response card. This is meant to be a two-way communication tool. There's a space where you can jot down scriptures and ideas from the message. And then at the end, I'd love to hear what God is saying to you so that we can pray for you and support you on the journey. As you get those ready, I invite you to join me in prayer. God, we come here this morning from all sorts of different places with all sorts of different things on our minds and on our hearts. So we ask you to do what only you can do. Reach us where we're at. Transform us by your grace so that no one leaves this place the same as we came in. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, the Rams and the Patriots are playing in the Super Bowl today. The Super Bowl is a big deal in our country. I heard that in honor of the big game, Pizza Hut is changing their name. Did you hear this? For today, they are calling themselves Pizza Hut Hut. I'm not even kidding. That's not a joke. While I enjoy the Super Bowl, I am far more excited that God is a big deal in our area. Over 850 churches in the Chicagoland area have joined together for this series, Explore God. We are exploring seven of the biggest faith questions. We have small groups meeting 6 days a week to continue the conversation and learning. If you're not yet part of a small group, there are 13 new groups that you could join. Just let me know on your response card. Be happy to connect you. Last week, we looked at the question, why does God allow pain and suffering? Next week, we're exploring the question, is Jesus really God? And today, we're exploring the question, is Christianity too narrow? When people outside of the Christian faith hear Christians make claims like, Jesus is the only way to God, many assume that we're being narrow or exclusive. I mean, how can you say that when there's so many religions, so many ways of thought? Yet the more we learn about Christianity, the more we discover how profoundly inclusive it really is. Because most religion is about humanity's attempt to reach God. Christianity is about God's attempt to reach all humanity. It goes right back to the founder of Christianity, Jesus Christ. He was the one that made the claim, no one can come to God except through him. In John 14, 6, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." While that claim might sound exclusive, if we look closely at Jesus' life, we see he was anything but exclusive. He was profoundly inclusive. Our gospel reading from Matthew 9 is the perfect example. In Matthew 9, Jesus reaches out to a tax collector and invites him to be part of his community of faith. We kind of just gloss over that. That was unheard of. Tax collectors were despised in that time and place. To give you a little bit of context, the Roman Empire had taken over Israel, and they hired Jewish people to collect taxes in that area for the empire. The tax collectors were responsible for giving a certain amount back to Rome. Anything over that, they could keep for profit. So tax collectors, many of them became very wealthy, overtaxing their own people. As a result, tax collectors were hated by their people for cheating and for supporting Rome. I want you to think for a moment about someone in your life who you don't trust. Someone who maybe cheated you or took advantage of you. Someone who stands for a cause that you don't support. That's Matthew. Tax collectors were outcasts in their society. They weren't allowed to serve as witnesses or judges in courts. They were expelled from synagogues and places of worship. Matthew was excluded by everyone in his society except Jesus. Jesus reached out to Matthew and invited him to be part of his community of faith. More than that, Jesus ate at Matthew's house with other tax collectors and notorious sinners, people who were known to have done things wrong and hurt other people. In that culture, to eat with someone was a sign of friendship. Jesus was making a big statement that God's love extends to all people, that all people are welcome in God's community of faith, no matter who you are or what you've done. Some did not approve of Jesus including outcasts like tax collectors and sinners. Sadly, the religious leaders of Jesus' day were his strongest critics. They thought they were righteous because of the rituals that they performed. But when you looked at how they treated people outside the religious circle, they were terribly cruel and dismissive. They were exclusive. Unfortunately, there have been many people of faith, even some who have called themselves Christians, who have used religion to attack, exclude, and oppress other people. That is categorically not right and not a good reflection of Jesus. Jesus challenged the exclusive attitude of his religious leaders. He said, God cares about all people, and God cares about how we treat all people, even more than your religious sacrifices. God desires that we treat other people with mercy and grace. And during that conversation with the religious leaders, Jesus made another significant point. He said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I deal with skin cancer. I have a sickness in my body, and I need help. Jesus explained that there's a sickness in humanity. The sickness is our inclination to turn away from God and God's goodwill for our lives. We have this tendency to go searching for fulfillment in all the wrong places. This tendency to make poor choices that hurt God, hurt others, and hurt ourselves. We call this sickness sin. Sin separates us from God. And the problem is, we've sunk so deep in sin, we cannot get out ourselves. We need help. Our situation is kind of similar to the Naperville boy who fell in a frozen pond last month. Did any of you see that? Take a look.
Freezing, stranded, surrounded by ice, but not alone. He was obviously very cold, you know, frightened, shaken up.
An 11-year-old boy went through a thin layer of ice at this Naperville apartment complex retention pond Sunday. Thrashing through the ice.
You just want to get in, react as quick as possible, and get out of the water.
Firefighter Mike Leston got in the frigid water and swam out to the buoy.
Slipping your feet in first.
Wearing this buoyant insulated suit, Leston says he knew given the temperature and conditions, seconds mattered.
It may seem stable, but at any moment, feet, inches, that ice could change drastically, and one step could be the wrong.
That boy made a poor choice and needed help. It was moving for me to watch the firefighter jump into the freezing pond to save the boy. It occurred to me, that's what Jesus did for us. We had messed up. We had gotten in over our head. And yet Jesus loved us so much that he was willing to put on flesh and jump right into the mess in order to save us. He was willing to risk not only his reputation, but also his life. On the cross, Jesus took the punishment for all of our wrongs, all of our sin, so that all who believe in him could be forgiven. He defeated death so that nothing, not even death, could ever separate us from God again. Does that sound like an exclusive faith? See, most religion is about humanity's attempt to reach God. Christianity is about God's attempt to reach all of humanity. We have a profoundly inclusive Savior. There is a response on our part. Jesus reaches out a helping hand to us, and we have a choice of how we'll respond. We can reject his help. The religious leaders in the gospel reading, they laughed at Jesus. They rejected his help. Matthew, on the other hand, turned towards Jesus and received his help. When we trust in Jesus as our Savior, he forgives our sin and fills us with the power of his Spirit to live a new life. Matthew was transformed from a despised tax collector to a respected man of faith whose account of Jesus is still being read centuries later. And Jesus is still transforming lives. This past weekend, Pastor Gary went to visit Wayside Cross Ministries. He met a man there who described how he was so lost and so addicted to drugs when he first entered Wayside's program. Thanks to the help of Jesus and followers of Jesus at Wayside, now that man is sober. And he has a respectable job of overseeing all the food services of Wayside Ministry. We have a profoundly inclusive Savior who forms a profoundly inclusive community of faith. It's not surprising that Matthew is the one who records Jesus' great commission that he gave to all of his followers. Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Do you get it? This good news is for all people, everywhere. We have a cure for humanity's sickness, and we cannot keep it to ourselves. Our first reading tells about one follower of Jesus who shared the good news. His name is Paul. Consider Paul's background. He started out a fierce opponent of Christianity. He ruthlessly hunted down followers of Jesus to have them arrested and killed. That was until Jesus reached out to Paul and transformed his life. Does that sound like an exclusive faith? This is a faith for all people, no matter who you are or what you've done. And Paul was so convinced of the world's need for Jesus that he went on 4 different missionary journeys to share the good news with people all over the world. And during his second missionary journey, he came to Athens. And there he encountered a culture that believed in many different gods, many different paths to God. The city was full of statues, temples, monuments dedicated to Greek gods like Aphrodite, the goddess of love and pleasure, Ares, the god of war, Apollo, the god of wisdom, Hephaestus, the god of work, Hermes, the god of wealth. Interestingly, people today are still searching for ultimate fulfillment in all those same places: relationships, pleasure, power, wisdom, work, wealth. Unfortunately, these things can't ultimately satisfy the void that only God can fill in our lives. The people of Athens were so afraid that they might miss a god and invoke wrath that they built an altar to an unknown god just to cover all their bases, make sure they had one for everyone. Paul enters into this culture, and he's a great example of how we can share the good news with people who might believe differently than we do. First, Paul listened. He sought out to understand their ideas and point of view. He looked for connections in their culture with the gospel. For example, he picked up on the altar to the unknown God and saw that as the perfect springboard to tell them about the one true God that they didn't know yet. He quoted Epicurean and Stoic philosophers to give them an idea of what Christianity was all about. We're told that Paul was distressed to see that the city was full of idols. The word distressed is an English translation of the Greek word paroxysm. It means a sudden, violent emotion. It bothered Paul that people were searching for God in all the wrong places when the one true God had already come searching for them in Jesus. And he turned that internal emotion into external action, and he took every opportunity he could to tell others about Jesus. He reasoned in the synagogues and in the marketplace. He conversed with people who believed differently from him. For example, he talked with the Epicureans and the Stoics. The Epicureans believed in gods but thought that they were distant from humanity. They thought the goal was to live a life of pleasure, free from pain. The Stoics rejected the Epicurean philosophy of pleasure and instead focused on virtue and discipline. They said reason is what governs the universe. And so Paul, he was a great example of how to connect and share the gospel with people who believe differently from us. And I imagine if Paul was speaking into our culture on a day like Super Bowl Sunday, he might use a football analogy, like the one that I heard from Coach Ron Brown from the Nebraska Huskies. Coach Brown said, imagine that you have a running back on your team who gets all discombobulated and starts running with the ball in the wrong direction. The most loving thing you could do in that moment is to stop them and tell them they're running in the wrong direction. And that's what Jesus did for us. We're imperfect people heading in all the wrong directions. And Jesus cared so much, he stepped out onto the field to help show us the right way. Jesus took the hits that we deserved. He paid the penalty for our wrong choices so that we could have a fresh start. And if we'll turn to Jesus and let him help us, he fills us with his power to move in the right direction and achieve eternal victory. There is a response on our part. Paul told the people of Athens, in the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. Jesus is reaching out a helping hand to us. And we have a choice of how we'll respond. We can reject his help and face the judgment from God that we rightly deserve. Or we can take his hand and receive his free gifts of forgiveness, eternal life, and the power of his Holy Spirit. The truth might seem narrow, But God's grace is wide open to all. You might contrast it with a country club. To get into a country club, you have to do certain things and pay a certain cost. But it doesn't work that way with Jesus. Jesus did what we could never do. And he paid the price that we could never pay so that he could open wide the way back to God. Most religion is about humanity's attempts to reach God. But Christianity is about God's attempts to reach all humanity. And we have a choice of how we respond. Some of the people who were listening to Paul that day, they laughed at him and they rejected Jesus. Others asked to hear more. And still others believed. Two are mentioned. One, Dionysius, who was a member of their elite intellectual society. The other, Damaris, a woman. The difference between the two shows the inclusive nature of Jesus' gospel. He reaches out to everyone. I'm a Christian today because other followers of Jesus reached out and included me. I grew up in Hawaii, and while I miss the warmer weather when we have cold spells like this winter, Hawaii was a very difficult place for me to grow up. Most of the other kids were of Hawaiian Asian descent, and because I looked differently, I was mercilessly teased and excluded. Many of the kids who treated me that way called themselves Christians. And so I started to feel like there was no place for me, not even with God. In high school, I met Daniel. Daniel was one of the first people to reach out to me and make me feel included. Daniel was a Christian. He was the worship leader for our school chapels. It's one of the reasons I got into music. He was also one of the reasons that helped me begin to believe that perhaps maybe there might be a God who is reaching out to me in love. In his commentary on Acts, John Stott wrote, "Jesus is the Savior of the world. Nobody is beyond the embrace of his love." That means you. You are not beyond the embrace of his love. Jesus came to be your Savior and the Savior of the world. He's reaching out his helping hand and calling us to respond. And maybe today you're like the boy sunken in the frozen pond, stuck. Or like the running back heading in the wrong direction. Jesus is lovingly reaching out and inviting you to turn to him. It could be as simple as admitting that you need his help and receiving his free gifts of forgiveness, eternal life, and the Holy Spirit. If that's a decision that you want to make, please let me know on your response card so we can celebrate with you and support you on the journey. But maybe you've already trusted in Jesus as your Savior. You've already experienced his transformation in your life. Jesus is calling you to share the good news with others. This is for all people, everywhere. We have a cure that the world needs, and we can't keep it to ourselves. There are many different ways that we can share the good news. Good Shepherd has several mission trips where teams go around the world to share the good news of Jesus with others. One of our teams is in Africa right now. Sylvia sent this picture to let us know their team made it safely and they're doing well. We can share the good news of Jesus closer to home, even with people who might believe differently than we do. Inspired by the example of Jesus and Paul, there's an acronym that outlines how to share the good news of Jesus with others. The acronym is BLESS. B, begin with prayer. Only God can change a heart. So we start there. L, listen. Like Paul, listen first. Seek to understand the ideas and point of views of others. Seek to find points of connection with the culture. eat. Jesus understood eating together has the power to break down barriers and build relationships. S, serve. Find needs that you can meet. Look for opportunities to demonstrate the inclusive love of Jesus in tangible ways, like Daniel did for me. And finally, S, share. Share the good news about Jesus. You could tell the story of how Jesus reached you and transformed your life. You could use illustrations like the pond rescue or the football analogy to communicate what Jesus has done for us. And don't be discouraged if people don't respond positively right away. They didn't for Jesus. They didn't for Paul. Sometimes it's a process that takes time. Just keep blessing them. Imagine if every single one of us did that this week. If that happened, I believe the world would catch a true glimpse of what Christianity was meant to be and experience how welcoming, loving, and inclusive Jesus forms his community to be. And I want to challenge you to pick one person that you can bless. And if you would, write the name of that person on your response card so I can pray with you and check in to see how it's going. In turn, I'll share my name with you and ask you to do the same. At the bottom of your sermon notes is a response card. I invite you to think about how God is calling you to respond to the scripture and the message for today. If you put your name and email, I promise I will pray for you and write to you. You can check the box, put it in the offering basket, or hand it to me on your way out. You can even use the code at the top to fill it out from your phone. Take a few moments with God, and then I'll close us in prayer. Would you pray with me? God, you know better than we do that we have a sickness, that we're like the boy stuck in the frozen pond, like the running back heading in the wrong direction. Thank you for sending Jesus into our mess to rescue us. May we respond to his gift of grace. God, I pray if there's anybody here today who's never before reached out, received Jesus' free gifts of forgiveness, eternal life, the power of his Spirit, I pray that they would make today their day to do that. And God, together, may our hearts be distressed like Paul's to see other people without Jesus. Motivate us to share your good news, to bless people in our lives and around the world, so that Good Shepherd will always reach and transform spiritually distracted people, so we may all love and serve you. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,